Guys, how we doing? Yeah? You guys having a good summer so far? Yeah? We are continuing in our series, There's More to the Story, which is explaining the why behind the stories that Jesus told. And so we're looking at parables through the Gospels of stories that Jesus told. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a parable, and we are going to see what the parable is, what does it mean, and how does it apply to our lives. But first, I want to start with just a quick little question. Raise your hand if you love your birthday. And I don't mean just like your birthday. I mean you absolutely love your birthday. Like it is your favorite holiday. When somebody's like, hey, it's what's your favorite holiday? And you're like, my birthday. Hands down. Raise your hand. Birthday people. Okay, you put your hands down. Put your hands down. Okay. Shh. Hey, come back. Come back. Hey, I love my birthday. But even more than my birthday, I love celebrating other people's birthdays. And so, hey guys, real quick, back, focus in. So, at a birthday party, one of my favorite things is when it's towards the end of the party, we get around the table and there's a cake. And we get around the cake, we're gonna blow out the candles, and then we're gonna open the presents. And I don't know if you guys have been in this situation when the birthday person gets up to the cake. I don't know about you, but I try to fight to be next to the birthday person because I want to get the best piece of cake. I want to know that I'm important to them. I want to be in all the pictures that are going to be on Instagram. I want to see all the presents that they open up, and I want to be next to the birthday person. And I think being next to the birthday person is the best place to be. Does anybody argue with me? No, exactly. Being next to the birthday person is the most important. And you're probably sitting there thinking, what does this have anything to do with a parable? Well, the parable that we're going to be looking at today is kind of like being at a birthday party and celebrating somebody's birthday. And so if you have your Bibles, we are going to open up to Luke 14, okay? Luke 14, verses 7 through 11. And we're going to look at a parable. It's called the parable of the wedding feast, okay? And so I'm going to open up God's word, and we're going to simply just read through God's word and talk about what this parable is, okay? So turn to Luke 14 with me. If you have a journal and you like to take notes, this would be a great time. Pull out your pen, take some notes. You could put parable of the wedding feast at the top, and we are going to dive in. And so the first question that we're trying to answer is, what is the parable? Okay, so as I read, I want you guys to point out either people, things, or something that seems important, okay? And lock it in your mind as we read through the text. Be looking for things that are important that stand out in this parable, okay? So here, let's read. So verse 7, now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, so we're not going to dive into figuring out what it means quite yet. I'm going to go back to the question I just asked. What are things, raise your hand, I'll call on a few people. What are things that stood out when you heard that? When we read the text, what are things that stood out? That's good. He who humbles himself will be exalted, okay? Now think of people and the place that they were at and maybe some descriptors of the table. Does anybody catch any of those? Table? Lowest place? I heard lowest place. Yeah, there's a lowest place. There's a place of honor. There's a host. table, and then he says friend. Okay, so those are just a few things that I found that were really interesting. And so let's just talk about what this parable is. It simply is a parable about a wedding feast, that the wedding feast has invitations and a list of guests, okay? That there's a place of honor, and then there's also the lowest place. And there's a host that sits at the table that decides where the people sit, okay? So that's the parable. That's it. Just plainly that, a wedding feast with a host, lowest place, highest place, and there's people that sit at the table, okay? But now let's look into the point of the parable. What does this parable mean? Okay, but before we figure out what this parable means, we need to figure out why it was written. Okay, so Jesus told this story about the parable because he was talking to the Pharisees. If you guys were here a couple weeks ago, Jonathan talked about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group of people who often loved the law and doing the right thing more than they loved God. That they, I don't know if you guys caught this in Jonathan's message, they often would compare themselves to other people. That they would look at people and say, well, I'm not as bad as them. I'm better. I'm okay because I don't do that thing. And so Jesus is writing to the Pharisees. And actually, just to clear the air, I know it might sound confusing. The parable is the parable of the wedding feast, but Jesus is actually referring to a dinner that he was invited to at a Pharisee's house, okay? And the only reason why he calls it a wedding feast is it's just an example to prove his point, okay? So he just wanted to be creative in how he was going to explain this dinner at a Pharisee's house. So when you think wedding feast, think, okay, Jesus is actually going to a dinner at a Pharisee's house, and this is what he's going to expect, okay? And so guys, one little fun thing about me. I hate spoilers, but I'm about to give you guys a spoiler. Wait. Who has seen the newest Top Gun movie? All right, put your hands down. Put your hands down. For those who have not seen it, I'm about to spoil the movie. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna spoil the movie, I promise. I told you, I don't like spoilers. Shh. Hey. All right. I'm waiting. Hey, guys, bring it back in. Hey, don't worry. I am not going to spoil it. But I am going to spoil the main point of this parable, okay? And the main point of this parable is that we should humble ourselves before God and others. So if you take one thing out of the message today, is that we should humble ourselves before God and others. And the reason why I wanted to spoil that for you is because I think it's important as we go and read the text that we have that in mind, that we should humble ourselves before God and others. Because I think it'll really impact the way that we read what we have in the Bible. And so, but what... You might be sitting there thinking, what does humility mean? So I just came up with a quick definition of humility. And humility is a modest or low view of one's importance. A modest or low view of one's importance. Another author that I really enjoy, his name's Andrew Murray. He wrote a book called Humility. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. He defined humility as, humility is nothing but the disappearance of self in the vision that God is all. I think that's really important that when we understand and believe in our hearts that God is all, that we humble ourselves because we recognize that we're nothing like God and that we need him and we're broken, but he loves us and wants us to be a part of it. And so we're going to go back. We're going to read the text slowly and just go verse by verse and just explain what this parable means, okay? So starting back at verse 7, I'm going to read it and we're going to talk about it. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them. And so we see that there's an invitation list, okay, to those who are invited. And Jesus is addressing the people that was invited to this Pharisee's house for dinner. And I don't know if you guys caught it, at the second half of verse 7, it says, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor. Does that seem backwards to you? That there's a host that invited all these people, and when the people came, they chose where they sat. And to give you just a quick little example, who loves going to sports games or concerts? Raise your hand, right? So imagine, okay, put your hands down. Imagine you're going to your favorite sports team. Let's just use sports team. And you buy a ticket to the game. And you walk all the way up. Let's just say that you're sitting in section 302, row 34, seat 3. So you're walking all the way up, and you're sitting in that specific seat. Because that's the seat that has been assigned to you, okay? But I don't know if you guys have done this. I do this at most games because I'm just curious. I always look down in the arena at the courtside seats, the front row seats, and I'm like, maybe there's an open spot. How can I get myself down there to sit in the front row seat? And so I'm always thinking, wow, there's an open seat. Nobody's sitting there. Nobody's assigned to that seat. It looks like it could just be mine, okay? We're going to come back to that story because I think it applies to this context. But verse 8 talks about, let's just continue. It says, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And so, back in that time, guys, when you sat around a dinner table and you were invited to a dinner, often the people who were closest to the host had higher significance in society. And so there are people who had maybe better jobs or better standing in society that would sit closer to the host because that was a sign of importance. And back in that day, people were really, really concerned with sitting next to the host because it showed that they were important, that they had value. And so back to my sports game scenario, all right? So you see there's a courtside seat, front row seat that's open, and you're like, all right, I'm going to take it. You start walking down. You go to section 100. Somehow you get in. Nobody checks your ticket. You get in. You go, and you sit down courtside. The game's going on. It's like the first quarter, and you're enjoying the game. You're ordering, I don't know what they serve at courtside because I've never sat courtside, but popcorn or something. I don't know. And you're sitting there, and you get a tap on your shoulder, and you look, and it's LeBron James. And LeBron James goes, hey, man, you're sitting in my seat. And LeBron's like, hey, I'm sitting there. You got to get up. And you sit up from your seat, and you make your way all the way back up to the top because you took LeBron James's seat. That would have been pretty embarrassing, right? Pretty embarrassing to take LeBron James' seat, and then he says for you to get up. All right? And so, Jesus, I know that was a funny story, but bring it back in. Jesus kind of talks about that exact same feeling in this next verse. So you guys, pay attention to this. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. All right? Jesus is just telling the people that you should not assume a position of honor because maybe the host would have wanted somebody else to sit in that seat, right? Because you got assigned the seat that was at the top, but LeBron James was front row seat, right? And so if your value, a lot of this in this context, that a lot of their value was in where they sat, that if they got removed from a seat, that would be humiliating. And I don't know if you guys have ever like been at, let's just say you're at a birthday party, another scenario. You're at a birthday party, you're at your best friend's birthday party, and you're sitting next to your best friend. You're like, oh, this is great. My best friend, I can't wait to celebrate my best friend. The cake comes out, and then your best friend turns to you and says, hey, do you mind if you go sit at the end of the table? Because I want Will to sit next to me. How humiliating would that be, right? Yeah, that would stink. And you walk down to the end of the table, and the seat that you're sitting in, you look across, and there's another chair, but nobody's sitting in that other chair. sitting at the end of the table with nobody to talk to right next to you, that's humiliating. And so that's what Jesus is trying to warn these people against, that we shouldn't assume a place of honor because maybe somebody else deserves that place of honor and that it could lead to embarrassment. And so how do we avoid this? How do we avoid seeking a place of honor? Well, he ends the last two verses talking about how to avoid this. And so verse 10, but when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And I don't know if you guys caught that. Friend, move up higher. And that's not a promise. It's not a promise that you're going to move up higher into a different spot on the table. But back to my main point of this parable, to remember that we should humble ourselves before God and others. All right? And we can do this in our own lives. And so now we're going to go in and talk about how do we practically live this out? How do we apply this to our lives? Well, it could be simple as when you're at home with your siblings and it's your turn to pick the restaurant that you and your family goes to. I know this is a small example, but you could say, hey, I'd rather have my brother pick it. Or you just consider your siblings more significant than yourselves and see how you can serve them and be faithful to them. I've once heard it said that the more that we think about ourselves, the less we think about God. So I want you guys to think about that. This isn't just like a cultural meal tip from the Bible. This is something that we can actually apply to our lives every single day. And as you're sitting there, I want you to think about, hey, where do I need to humble myself today? Where am I struggling to pick humility instead of pride? And where can I humble myself before God and others? And I think if I'm being honest, guys, this is something that's really hard for me, that I often think I deserve something. I often think I deserve something from God, and I often think I deserve other things from people. And I'm often very quick to be prideful, thinking that I'm better than I actually am. And so reading this week and preparing this message was so good for me to be reminded that I'm nothing without God and that I need to humble myself before him. Even this week, I got into arguments with close people in my life. And what was often the theme was that I was seeking my own pride, thinking that I was right and that the other person was wrong, because that's prideful. And I didn't humble myself before this person. I had to go before them and ask for forgiveness because I didn't seek humility first, that I didn't humble myself before God and I didn't humble myself before them. And so, guys, the first way that we can apply this is that we need to start positioning ourselves in humility. And that's to think of God more, to reflect on his goodness and his character, and to realize that we need him. That there's nothing good that comes from ourselves, but it's everything that good, all the good that comes from God. And so, if we think of others and God more in our lives, we become way more less self-consumed, and we seek more humility in our lives. And what a better example of humility than what God has done for us. That God had the fullness of life, the fullness of deity, and he gave his one and only son, that he came fully God and fully man to live on this earth in the form of a baby. That God came, became a baby. If you don't know tons about babies, they don't do much. They eat, sleep, and cry all the time. And the fact that God wanted to come and be a human so that he could humble himself. And Philippians 2 talks about that he emptied himself so that we could have the fullness of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he took the lowest place that we're talking about in this story, that Jesus took that. He took our sins on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. And if our ultimate hope is found in Jesus, then our lives should be marked by humility, because Jesus' life was marked by humility. He sought the lowest people, and he cared for them. And he thought of others more significant than himself. And guys, everything, hey, guys, bring it back in. This is important. We're almost to the end. If you don't hear anything, this world is going to teach you to look out for yourself. That looking out for number one is the most important. And there's probably a lot of influences in your life that are telling you that if you just look for yourself and whatever you want, that life is going to go well. And I just want you guys to hear that that's not the life that we should live. That Jesus has clearly showed this for ourselves, that he gave his life for us. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." And I don't want to just gloss over and say that it isn't hard. That oftentimes this world has a lot of things that are enticing that would create us to be selfish. And it's hard to fight that. It's hard for me. But I want you guys to know that when we seek humility, that we lay our lives down for God and for others, that that's where the trueness of life is found. And so remember that we should humble ourselves before God and others. And so I want you guys to reflect on that and the ways that you can do that today. And so let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this parable, the parable of the wedding feast, that we would be reminded to not assume a place of honor, but God, that we would seek the lowest place, that if we humble ourselves before you, God, that we'd be exalted. We see that that's through your Son. He was our example. And Lord, I just pray for these students, that they would reflect in areas that they need to humble themselves before you and other people. And God, I pray for them this week that they would do that, that they would seek you in all that they do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.